Tuesday, the 2nd of June, day 73. The conservative American newspaper columnist George Will is someone I have never really agreed with. He opposed the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade judgment on a woman's right to choose. And although he's opposed to the death penalty, he seems to be in favour of even greater levels of incarceration than the obscene levels that the United States already has. He has been a contributor to Fox News. And he read PPE at Oxford. Against these heinous crimes, in fairness, I have to admit that he opposed the George W. Bush administration for its massive expansion of warrantless electronic surveillance. And he supported trials for the detainees in Guantanamo Bay prison camp. And he has supported the development of a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants in the United States. So he's not entirely without redeeming features. But I fear that if we were ever to find ourselves locked in a jammed lift, it might be an awkward conversation. Until today, when a good friend in California alerted me to Will's column in this morning's Washington Post. Here's how it begins. This unravelling presidency began with the crybaby-in-chief banging his spoon on his high chair to protest a photograph, showing that his inauguration crowd the day before had been smaller than the one 4 years previous. Since then, this weak person's idea of a strong person, this chest-pounding advertisement of his own gnawing insecurities, this low-rent leer raging on his Twitter heath, has proven that the phrase malignant buffoon is not an oxymoron. Attaboy, I thought. The column goes on in that angry, derisive vein, but with an edge of realistic wisdom. Will knows that America's downward spiral into acrimony and sporadic anarchy has had many causes, some of which he supported. For example, like the Citizens United judgment of the Supreme Court, which decided that corporate funding of political candidates constituted free speech. And he also knows that these causes predated Trump's presidency and that most will survive its termination. But, he says, the measures necessary for restoration of national equilibrium are many and will be protracted far beyond his removal. It's not enough, in other words, that Trump should lose the election. The people whom Will calls his enablers in Congress, and especially in the Senate, must be routed as condign punishment for their vitiate collaboration in the crazed machinations of the crybaby-in-chief. He's right, of course, although I wouldn't rate the chances of reforming an 18th-century institution like the US Senate too highly. But the prime responsibility for the United States' current problems rests with the Republican Party, just as prime responsibility for the UK's chaotic mess lies with the Tories. That's not to say that the Democrats in the US and Labour in Britain were stellar performers. But in the end, the buck stops with the people who are in government, which means the people who are in charge of the legislature. A political party's primary function, says Will, is to bestow its imprimatur on candidates, thereby proclaiming, "This is who we are." In 2016, the Republican Party gave its principal nomination to a vulgarian and then toiled to elect him, and to stock Congress with invertebrates whose unswerving abjectness has enabled his institutional vandalism. These spineless Republicans are the kind of people whom T.S. Eliot anticipated in his poem The Hollow Men. We are the hollow men, our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless, as wind in dry grass, or rat's feet over broken glass. The US is in a terrible state at the moment, but those of us who live in the UK are in no position to crow. After all, we were waltzed into the 2016 referendum by an Etonian toff who saw holding a vote as a way of silencing the crazies in his own party. He was then replaced, in short order, first by a grammar school head girl masquerading as Prime Minister and endeavouring to carry out the instructions of 52% of the electorate. She, in turn, was then succeeded by a lazy old Etonian fantasist, joker and liar who couldn't run a bath, who then shackled himself to a sociopathic humanities graduate who has a crush on science and technology. So it was the Tories who got us into this mess. But they wouldn't have got away with it had there been a functioning opposition party with a leader who lived in the 21st century, rather than someone who was wandering lost in the early 1970s. Those whom the gods wish to destroy, they first persuade to elect nutters.